Cleveland's 10-cent beer night. It was 1974 in the year of our Lord. Cleveland lost to Texas on the road. Score was 3-0 down in Arlington with a bench clearing brawling episode. They talked trash on the news, the Rangers were screwed. They said there wouldn't be a fan in sight. They thought nobody cared, they were so unprepared for Cleveland's 10-cent beer night. The hometown heard of Billy Martin's words, relentless dedication to the tribe.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bushball. My name is Don Pastor, and I am your host. Today, have we got a story for you. Probably one of the most notorious events to ever occur during a baseball game. I'm referring to 10-cent beer night. It occurred on June the 4th, 1974 in Cleveland, Ohio at Memorial Stadium during a Cleveland Indians-Texas Ranger game. I have asked somebody who actually participated in this event, Lloyd Allen, to join us and talk about the experience and the events that unfolded during probably one of the worst promotions in the history of Major League Baseball. It was called 10-cent beer night, and this particular night it went all ways wrong. And Lloyd comes in with his great storytelling ability and his sense of humor. He's an all-around great guy, former number one pick of the California Angels and player for the Texas Rangers and Chicago White Sox. So it should be a great episode. Sit back, relax, and enjoy another episode of Bushball. 25,000 strong, the trap lines were long, the Cleveland fans ready for a fight. The beer at the club was cheaper than the pub on Cleveland's 10-cent beer night. The beer had flown before the first pitch was thrown. Wasn't long till things got out of hand. Bare chest revealed, people running on the field, a father and son mooning the stands. After gallons of Stroh, someone took off his clothes, ran to second base under the lights. The dugouts, it was known, that's where cherry bombs were thrown on Cleveland's 10-cent beer night. After tables were tossed, the beer staff got lost. Cleveland's
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bushball. We are fortunate to have our guest, Lloyd Allen, join us again today. He is a former first-round draft pick of the California Angels and also the first player born in the 1950s to make it to the MLB. He also, along the way, played for the Texas Rangers and the Chicago White Sox. Today, I was talking to Lloyd a while back, and he was telling me this great story about an event that happened on June 4th, 1974 in Cleveland, Ohio. And we'll just set the stage. It's the Cleveland Indians against the Texas Rangers. And the promotion that night was 10-cent beer night. Well, Lloyd crafted this really great, well, it's not really a story because it happened, but a retelling of the events that night. And so, Lloyd, I want to welcome you back to Bushball.
Thank you, Don. Great to be back.
Great. Well, I tell you, your story about 10-cent beer night is, I mean, you tell, your stories are fantastic anyway, but 10-cent beer night is one that I said, okay, we gotta get that on Bushball, because it really is, it's got a lot of twists and turns.
The pressure is on now. You gave me such an intro. The pressure is on,
Lloyd. Always on. Mm-hmm. We're all pressure.
All right.
It's all pressure here.
Let's do it.
Okay. So tell me about, were there any events leading up to 10-cent beer night that kind of made things more maybe hostile than a typical beer night? Because these beer nights were pretty common, you know, right, around the league and right, things like that. But why was this one special?
Well, it started in a series we had with Cleveland in Texas. And the week before beer night in Cleveland, we were playing Texas. We were playing the Indians in Texas. for some reason, Cleveland had a pitcher by the name of Milt Wilcox. And we had a player by the name of Lenny Randle, and they didn't like each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they made that pretty obvious. So Milt was pitching that game and, you know, was brushing Lenny back, and they were kind of jaw-jacking and, you know, was kind of getting rowdy. And I think Lenny pointed his bat at Milt.
Mm.
And, you know, that's kind of a no-no. But then Milt threw the ball behind Lenny. Behind it. Now, right. When a pitcher throws a ball behind a hitter, he doesn't have good intentions.
Right.
That's ugly. Yeah, and you can really hurt a guy by throwing the ball behind him.
Right.
So the next pitch, Lenny drag bunts the ball down the first baseline, and Milt comes over to field it, and Lenny runs over.
Mm.
Ball, hell breaks it. Okay, mm-hmm. Bench is empty, and we're out fighting for about a half an hour with the Cleveland Indians in Texas. Now, we're playing back then in the old AA ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
It was renovated a little bit, but the fans were right on top of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unbelievable how close they
mm-hmm.
were. And our fans were getting rowdy, and they were throwing things at the Cleveland players and cursing them, and it got ugly. But we got it all cleared out. But after the game, the Cleveland sports writers, Billy Martin was our manager, went into Billy and started talking to him, and they said, you know, are you afraid of retribution when you get back to the Cleveland in the next series?
Mm-hmm.
Billy said, they're... Nobody shows up at the Cleveland games anyway.
Oh, Billy. Why? Why, Billy?
Yeah, you got to love him, you know?
Yeah, you do.
He's such a stage. Well, these Cleveland writers jumped on it, and they started writing. Billy Martin said this, and, you know, we don't draw anybody, and it's just, it got ugly in the papers.
And he was right.
He was right. Yeah. You know, in 1974, and I don't want anybody, if somebody from Cleveland is listening to this, please don't tell
me. They will.
Now, I have good friends from Cleveland. So Barb and Jeff, do not get upset when I say this. In the early 70s, Cleveland was not a happening place.
Mm.
You know, they didn't draw well. It was, you know, the city was struggling a little bit. So this was an event that I guess the Cleveland marketing department thought was going to make it happen. And so they started building it up in the papers, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, we get to Cleveland, Don, and the night before the game, the day before the game, you know, rarely did we stayed at the old Hollandon house in downtown Cleveland back then.
Mm-hmm.
And downtown was bustling like it had never been before.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was that sense of foreboding. We knew something was starting to cook because all the mm-hmm. bars downtown were full at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Huh?
Right.
So they were drunk before they got to the ballpark.
Oh.
So that's how it started. And then, you know, we get out to the game, and you know, that sense of foreboding. You just look around and go, something's not right here tonight, and you couldn't put your finger on it.
Yeah.
But as soon as the gates opened, we knew they were drunk when they got to the gate.
Mm.
Yeah, it was, and it just started going from there. The noise and the screaming at us and the the insults. And
so going in, did you guys know it was? Did you guys know it was 10 cent beer night?
Oh, yeah.
Coming in.
Oh, yeah. They had built it up in the press.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
And
our
people had come to us and said, you know, they're having a 10 cent beer night in Cleveland when we're back there. That might get ugly. and, you know, you don't really, you know, we didn't think that much of it until we got to Cleveland and, you know, had that sense that something was really happening.
Yeah, so, it's kind of like, you're looking up in the stands and you're pretty used to the scene. You know what it looks like night after night after night. And you get in there and mm-hmm. you go, something's different.
very different. And, you know, Don, and I love baseball fans. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they allowed me, they paid my salary. They allowed me to play a game that I loved. They allow me to have a pension to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So I love true baseball fans, but these weren't baseball fans.
Mm-mm.
These were, for the most part, young hellraisers
mm-hmm.
who for a dollar could get drunk. You know,
exactly.
Kind of beer night. For a dollar, you can drink 10 beers and get drunk in a hoot.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what they were looking for. And they were drunk and they were rowdy. So anyway, I mean, we're having batting practice and this, and the gates had just opened and, you know, they're starting the insults pretty early. So we knew something was cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big crowd. You know, it was a big crowd. And, it didn't take very long. You know, we were out in the bullpen and that old stadium, there's a new stadium now in Cleveland, but that old municipal stadium.
Oh, yeah.
The bullpen was huge. Absolutely. And the Browns played football there back then.
Right.
But the bullpens were pretty much open. I mean, they were down the, first baseline for the visitors. So the fans were right on top of you, and they were throwing firecrackers into the bullpen, and it was getting ugly. So Billy Martin, the manager, calls us all in to the dugout because, you know, we had called him and said, "Hey, Billy, it's getting a little rowdy down here.
we're down here in a cage. It's like fish in a barrel."
these folks are getting a little rowdy. So Billy said, "Come on in." So we all went to the dugout. And it just roared from there, Doc. And it just started building.
It got out of control.
And we knew something was going to happen. You know, we just knew something ugly was going to happen.
What took it to another level? What was the kind of the beginning of the end?
Jeff Burrows was playing right field that day.
Mm-hmm.
And a fan, a young kid, jumped out of the stand. Well, first of all, we had a streaker, which was pretty common back in those days.
Right.
That's pretty innocent. We don't care. Everybody laughs at him. He's butt naked, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But this kid jumps out and he tries to take Jeff Burrow's hat off his head.
Ooh.
And Jeff, you know, reacts and kicks this kid. I mean, he kicks this kid into next week. I mean, he decks him with a kick. Well, the kid's father jumps on the field.
Oh boy.
And then it just starts coming. Then they just start pouring out of the stands. So, you know, when we're in the dugout, we have to protect Jeff.
Right.
So we run out there and the fans are just pouring onto the field. And, there's no doubt it was the weirdest and strangest and scariest day I've ever spent in a Major League Baseball park or any park.
Any park.
Yeah, because they were drunk.
I'm just thinking of that kid, Lloyd. He's sitting in the stands going, he's sitting there, right? And he's going, you know, he's mulling over, "I think I'm going to go grab Jeff Burrow's hat."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a good idea. You know what I mean? I just don't.
Until he got kicked unconscious.
Right, exactly. Oh, man.
So you can't blame the dad for trying to help his son. But it started, that was the flow. And then it just started coming. So when we get out there, it's, you know, when you're in a brawl like that, you don't have time to get scared. You know, you're getting sucker punched. You know, you got people in your face and you're fighting and, you know, it's a brawl. So
hey, you don't know who your enemies are at that point.
You don't. And you're not scared because you're so pumped just fighting.
Yeah.
But when chairs started coming down from the upper deck, in that old stadium, all the chairs were wood. And these people had shimmied these chairs up. And were throwing them onto the field.
Yeah.
So one hit about 10 feet from me. I said, you know what? I don't like being punched. And I don't like fighting like this, but if that chair hits me, I'm dead.
Right.
So it was, I knew at that point it's time to start heading for the dugout. And if it weren't for the Cleveland players, Don, coming out to help us, they'd have killed us.
Right.
It really got that ugly.
Well, it also makes you realize just how dangerous like any game can be. And I mean, if 50,000 people turn on you, that's an army. You know what I mean? So,
right.
Scary stuff.
But again, obviously there were some true baseball fans in that stadium because not all of them poured out. A lot, they came out on the field, but they weren't fighting with us. It was those young, rowdy drunks who decided they wanted to fight a bunch of baseball players.
Yeah.
So that's what was dangerous.
So tell me kind of, Billy Martin, what this seems like right up his alley. What was he doing during all of this? What role did he play?
Yeah, this is right in Billy's wheelhouse. Billy carried a bat out there.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Now, I sent a picture to you earlier, the people don't know, that I was leaning on a bat. But I dropped that bat when I ran out there. I'm not going to take a bat out and to fight.
Yeah.
But Billy did. And there was a guy who, I got hit from the back of the head and it kind of knocked me sideways because there was a guy I was fighting.
Man.
And as I looked over this guy's shoulder, as I hit this guy, he kind of slumped. And as I looked over his shoulder, Billy was behind him with a baseball bat.
Oh.
And he drilled this guy with this bat. There's a guy walking around Cleveland today who's limping.
Okay. Oh, no.
I can, Don, this was 47 years ago, and I remember the sound to this day of him hitting him in the kneecap. He hit him in the kneecap with that bat.
Yeah.
The crack. And this guy went down in a heap. I mean, there's no way he walked up. There's no way he walked away from that.
Exactly.
After he went down, somebody else started fighting with me, so I kind of lost contact with him. But,
So then you get up, Billy finishes this guy off, and then at that point you guys just decide, okay, it's time to go to the dugout or to the clubhouse and get out of here. I mean, it seemed like you guys were out there quite a long time before.
We were out there a long time, a lot longer than I wanted to be. But and then I started getting some police and why they didn't have a bigger police presence, I have no idea. Cooler head fans were trying to get the players, get them off of us. The Cleveland players helped us a lot because the real hellraisers, the kids that really wanted to fight, we were beating the hell out of them.
Right.
Okay. We were winning. So,
Of course.
Yeah. So,
you're bigger, you're stronger, you're faster.
And we thought we were fighting for our lives. They were fighting because they were drunk.
Exactly.
But we just start booting toward the dugout, and that's what we do. We just kind of start backing up and just made it to the dugout. But, one funny tidbit about that, when we got to the dugout, I go down the steps and start up the tunnel into the clubhouse, and I look back, and we had a pitching coach named Art Fowler. God bless him.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to come down the steps, and he fell. And he busted his face a little bit when he fell.
Oh,
so I went over and said, "Art, you are? Yeah, let's go." I said, "We got to get up here." So we went up the tunnel together up into the clubhouse. So we're sitting there after the game, getting showered up and stuff, and the press is in there, and I hear Art say, they asked Art, "What happened to your face?" "Oh man, I was fighting this guy, and I got the best of him, but he got," and I laughed. I said, "No, you didn't. You fell down the steps, dude." So
he says you. Lloyd gave you.
Yeah. Well, I didn't rat him out, Don. I'm like, yeah. I chuckled at myself and just said, what a wild, crazy night. You know, and then we get the police escort back to the hotel because they still wanted to get to us after the game.
Jeez.
So, yeah.
And they weren't even, like you said, they weren't even baseball fans. They just were looking for a fight, looking for trouble.
Totally.
And,
yeah.
Right.
If you look at that picture I sent you,
and you look
who's on top of our dugout, do those kids look like baseball fans?
No, they do not. They do not at all.
No shirts on, just absolutely drunker than they could be. Looking for trouble.
They just want a reason to raise hell, I guess. And,
right.
You know, I guess the reason it went so long too is it's not like you guys could just leave the field once it kind of, I mean, you had teammates out there who were, cause you guys were out in the field at the time. And so, you know, what point in the game did that happen? Late, early?
I want to say like the fourth, fifth
was it?
Inning. Okay. And yeah, we're, in the old Cleveland Stadium, the visitors were on the third base side. And where this started was in right field. So it's the furthest place from us where Jeff was in trouble and we had to run to. So not only was it a long way to get to him, and a lot of fans had already poured onto the field, it was a long way to come off the field.
Yeah,
when so many fans were still wanting to fight, or so many not fans, but those kids were wanting to still fight us. So
that's crazy.
It is crazy. And you know what's amazing, Don, is I just thought today that was 47 years ago.
Isn't that wild?
And there's things about that night that I can remember like it happened yesterday. It was 47 years ago.
I know. Time flies when we get to a certain age.
Yeah, no, that means I'm getting old. But
come on. I thought it wasn't hilarious. It was terrifying. But when, you know, Mike Hargrove, he said he almost got hit by like a gallon jug of Thunderbird. really cheap wine?
Yep. Well, Mark Hargrove, he's a tough kid. He's a tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy who was just pounding people in the fight back in Arlington, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
he was tough,
Mike was
a tough kid.
He was a tough kid. Yes, he was.
Yeah.
So he was pounding some fans out there.
Right.
And I think I don't know if that game was televised or not back to Cleveland, that game in Arlington. But for some reason, I think the fans realized that Hargrove was one of the tough guys and one of the guys that had caused, you know, who had really brawled hard against the Cleveland players. So they didn't like him. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy night. Crazy night. I hope never have another 10-7 bear night.
Well, you know, I was reading something on it, and Tim Russert, who's famous, you know, Meet the Press. I think he's Meet the Press guy. Author, wrote a bunch of good books about different historical figures. He said he went to that game with $2 in his pocket. He said, imagine what I could do. You do the math on 10-cent beer night.
Yeah.
You know,
that's 20 beers.
Right. And
that's
so
20 beers.
Yeah. But it also got out of control too, because they didn't. Is it true that they kind of overtook the beer trucks and stuff? Like the fans, kind of.
I heard that.
Yeah.
We weren't privy to that as players because we didn't know because we were.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of weird things that happen because these people were drunk before they got to the ballpark.
Right.
Because word out, when they opened up the gates because the noise just started. When they walked into that stadium that night, they were drunk already.
Yeah.
So now you're buying 10, you know, for a dollar, you can drink 10 more beers You can right. only imagine, exactly. imagine the alcohol.
I know. Oh.
Yeah.
They
weren't legal drivers. Let's put it that way. They wouldn't really, have passed the test.
Exactly. It's either going to be a really good day or a really bad one.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at
how things can.
You know, if that wasn't enough, they did a nickel beer night, beer day in 71.
Yeah.
The Indians.
Yeah.
Nickel for a beer.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep. I remember that.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, that's where I got, I thought nickel, no, that everybody kept saying, well, you were at 10 cent beer night in 74. I said, yeah, I was. And they
yeah.
said, well, there's nickel beer night. And I said, you know, I thought that was supposed to be nickel beer night. And I think when they first announced the Indians,
yeah.
when the writers start talking about it, they announced it as another nickel beer night. But then they raised it to 10 cents.
Those suckers.
That's what I think. Yeah. Well, yeah, they wanted that extra nickel.
They wanted that extra yeah. nickel. Well,
they didn't want you getting drunk on 50 cents. They wanted a whole dollar from it.
Exactly. Oh, that's crazy, Lloyd. That's crazy that you know,
it's
be involved
in something like that. Of all the things, and you know, I've had some crazy nights in ballparks, as you know, me telling
mm-hmm.
about my Dominican story and getting pissed
yes,
down on me.
Yeah. Exactly.
But that was really, really a strange night. Very strange. You had that sense of foreboding. You knew it was coming. It was building to that.
Yeah.
You didn't know how bad it was going to be, but you sensed something's wrong here tonight.
Right.
This is something bad is going to happen.
Right. At least in the Dominican, it was just one guy pouring urine on you.
Right. And I couldn't get to him because I couldn't climb over the screen.
Hey, what's that screen for?
Yeah, I found out. They got piss throwers in the Dominican.
That's crazy, too. Oh, man. 10 cent beer night. I knew I wanted to kind of get that recorded because I knew that you would tell it so well, and you did, and I appreciate the time, and you know, if you ever get any other stories, Bushball,
well,
Wayne,
I got plenty of them.
You know, the people who listen to Bushball, they like stories. They like a sense of history. And that's what you bring, and 10 cent beer night, I think, checks all those boxes. The weird, the wild. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, Lloyd, you have a good rest of your afternoon, and I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Don. Be my pleasure. I'll come on anytime you want.
And from henceforth, we remember June the 4th as Cleveland's 10 cent beer night. By the bottom of the ninth, the score now is tied. Someone tried to steal an outfielder's hat. Where the visitor sat, they thought he was attacked. Charged the crowd while taking up their bats. With seats in their hands, fans ripped from the stands till the tear gas ended the fight. It was too much to ignore. The beer limit went to 4. Wait, that's it? On Cleveland's 10 cent beer night. On Cleveland's 10 cent beer night. On Cleveland's 10 cent beer night.